Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
You know, he does it kind of like a dead fish.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. We continue heading up until 2 o'clock on this Wednesday edition. We talk now some Royals baseball with Jeff Montgomery, Royals insider, Bally Sports, Royals Hall of Famer. He is brought to you by Kansas City's own Sandlot Goods. Shop hundreds of hat styles and more at sandlotgoods.com. Over 99% of baseball hats sold in the U.S. made overseas. Support local manufacturing. Kansas City's hat manufacturer, sandlotgoods.com. Monty, what is up, man? How are you, sir?
Well, doing pretty good, Jason. Had a long day at the ballpark yesterday, but a couple of good games. So hopefully pick up where we left off and maybe get another win here later on today.
Yeah, I mean, it's hopefully that is the case with this last couple of games against the White Sox. But the doubleheader yesterday, they split that longer day. Did you enjoy doubleheaders as a player? Maybe as a bullpen guy, it might have been different. But did you enjoy going out there and playing a couple of games?
I never minded it. I like the traditional doubleheaders like we played yesterday much more than the split doubleheaders. The split doubleheaders, depending on how one or both the games go, can be a really, really long day. But yesterday was pretty short and sweet with regards to playing, I guess, two games, and both crisp and clean games. So I think when you play that style of baseball, good pitching, it's always fun.
Visiting with Jeff Montgomery, Bally Sports. The youth has been a lot of talk, Monty. A lot of discussion around the young guys and what they have been doing. And since the All-Star break, but also in the, seven, eight games since the trade deadline, when it's kind of been just all of the youth up here with Prado and Vinny Pasquantino, Witt starting the season, MJ Melendez when he came up earlier, and now Michael Massey, Eaton, Isbell still qualifying as a rookie as well. So it's the young guys, the youth. What are you seeing from this team with this influx of younger players and sort of that feel of the next generation of this Royals ball club?
Well, I'm excited about it. I don't know if I've ever been as excited about a group of players this large. I mean, we've been through rebuilds. We've been through all the ups and downs of rosters and such. But this seems to be a group of players that they all kind of get it. I mean, they top to bottom, you see a lot of hope, a lot of upside from a lot of these players. I like the way they go about their business. Now, they're going to have their downs just like they've had their ups. But by and large, I mean, it seems like it's a group that you can say, hey, this is a group that's going to be together for a while. They're going to take us through an extended period of world baseball where we're going to know who they are. We're going to see them on a consistent basis, and I think they have some abilities. And what I really like about the youth is the fact that they're really kind of coming just a year or two behind the group of young pitchers who came up now who are starting to hit stride, and we're starting to see why the Royals were so high on some of these starting pitchers. And the pitchers always seem to be more of a wild card as far as, are they going to make it? Are they not going to make it? And I've had my my ups and downs with regards to these pitchers too through their early parts of their development, but now we're starting to see a lot more consistency. And so you take those pitchers, you got a group of position players that are just like say a year or two behind them. You have the core and the making potentially of a pretty solid team for an extended period of time.
Visiting with Jeff Montgomery and the youth, the young guys, and it does feel like there's that core that's pretty solid. We'll see how long it lasts. But yesterday in the doubleheader, all six RBIs yesterday driven in by rookies. Four of the six runs that were scored by the rookies. Is there a different feel around the clubhouse? Do you think around this team with the younger guys? Because it certainly looks like they're having a lot of fun. It looks like there's that you know, feel of baseball being a kid's game, which is, you know, what it's supposed to be. Brad Keller talked about that as well. Do you get the sense of that as well?
Well, I do, and I think that's something you almost would expect with a group of young players. Now, you know, the players who they replaced, those guys were young players playing with that same style, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. So, it, you know, it's really difficult to expect, I guess, moving forward, how long will these young players go out and play like young players who are, you know, looking to make their name in the big leagues? But I think just more than anything, it's the talent. It's not necessarily the energy, the style. I think it's just the talent that I'm impressed with, and their ability to do some things. And I mean, some of the tools and the, you know, the foot speed, the throwing arms, the power, just, you know, kind of the package that we're seeing with these guys, to me has been quite impressive.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, because it's not just younger guys coming up and playing, because there are some bad baseball teams that bring up younger guys just to fill out a roster that aren't really deserving of being there. This is a bunch of guys that sort of know each other, came up, played on some the same teams together, and have grown and progressed into legitimate prospects. Like, maybe not all number one prospects like Bobby Witt, but legitimate prospects that people feel like could be everyday players, and they're in the big leagues, and it feels like they're building off each other that, okay, I know this guy can play, so I'm up here too, so I can play, and this guy's hitting and taking that same approach and, you know, working the count, working a walk from time to time, which is, you know, a little bit different when you see Vinny Pasquantino and Nick Prado and those guys getting on base and walking and things like that. The talent part is a really good point. It's not just how young they are. It's that, yeah, they're young, they're in the big leagues, they're fresh-faced and wide-eyed, and everything is new and cool in the third deck, and they're just loving going to the ballpark. But they're also pretty damn talented.
Yeah, and I think that's what you really have to kind of gauge things off of is, you know, how do they project out as far as, you know, once that energy kind of wears down a little bit and you're playing kind of what I'll call more of a normal style of the game. You're not trying to run through a brick wall every time you take the field. You know, you're playing a little more what you would expect to see from a, you know, I guess I'll say a more experienced team or a more veteran-type team. But, yeah, the tools are certainly there. And, again, they're going to have their fair share of struggles along the way. Everybody does. Doesn't matter who you are. You are not immune to having your struggles, you know, at the plate facing – you know, superior pitching, but no one's really, you know, come up and really gotten knocked down. And I think a lot of it, too, has to do with somewhat of a what I'll call an inner competition among the guys, because when, you know, say, for example, a Nate Eaton sees a Michael Massey doing something special and MJ Melendez and Vinny Pasquantino and Nick Prado, I mean, the list goes on, but I think it creates almost a little bit of a competition among the guys saying, hey, this guy did his job. Now I got to go out and do my job if I want to hang and be considered at that same level. So it's good, healthy competition, but I think there's still that inner competition amongst a bunch of guys who have played for a number of years together at the lower level.
Is Vinny Pasquantino starting to see the hard hits pay off, or the hard hit balls pay off in them either leaving the yard, because it seemed like the angle, the launch angle that we talk about a lot, but the launch angle for him was like 5 feet off the ground that he was hitting rockets and off the fence in right field. And, you know, yesterday he hits a couple of light tower home runs. Once he gets that thing in the air, you know, it's going to be gone. And he's had so many hard hit balls that have been right at guys or really good defensive plays. And is the worm starting to turn a little bit for him, that he's seeing some, maybe some, you know, softer hit balls fall in place and get some hits from those going the other way, which was good? I mean, the last five games, he's got 2 home runs, a double. He's got 4 RBIs in the 5 games, 3 runs scored, only 1 strikeout in these 5 games. Is that, you starting to see that sort of turn for Vinny Pasquantino, that it's paying off his approaches and his at-bats?
Yeah, and I'm not exactly sure of the adjustments he's made, if any, but I know maybe about a week or so back, he got like 3 hits in a game and he didn't really hit any of the balls hard. I kind of teased him a little bit saying, hey, you're finally figuring this thing out. You don't have to hit line drives to get base hits. Because it seemed like everything he hit was either right into the shift or right at somebody on a line. And so he's like, yeah, I'm becoming a more intelligent or a smarter hitter here, something to that effect. But now that we're starting to see some balls that are, you know, have that launch angle to where his power plays, it's good to see the results, because I think for a hitter to continue to go up and hit the ball hard and have nothing to show for it can be very frustrating. But once you start to get a couple of those balls that drop in, once you get a couple of balls that find those holes, and then you get a couple balls that leave the ballpark, it's got to make you feel pretty good.
Jeff Montgomery, Bally Sports TV, Royals insider, Royals Hall of Famer, presented by Sandlot Goods. Brady Singer had the goods yesterday. He was pretty awesome. Six strikeouts, no walks. He gave up only one run in 7 1/3 innings. This is a guy that's been completely different since he came back up to the big leagues from getting sent down. And a lot of that, Monty, has been attributed to the changeup and, you know, him incorporating that pitch. But I will say the last, you know, three starts for Brady Singer, he's given up 5 total earned runs, and he's got 19 strikeouts and 2 walks in those. And he's only thrown 11 total changeups out of, you know, almost 300 pitches. He's thrown 11 total changeups. So is it just the fact that he has that it keeps hitters off balance, or knowing he can go to that? Has that changeup, knowing he can go to that, given him extra confidence with the sinker slider? Because the sinker has had so much movement, and he's been on point. What do you see from him, and is it maybe just a natural progression, or did that changeup do a lot maybe mentally for him that he just has a feel and a comfort with it, even though he's not really throwing it as often as he did when he first came back up?
Yeah, it's really difficult to put your finger on exactly what the reason is, but I think there's probably a number of factors. First, we've talked about the process for guys that have stuff, they have ability, they're prospects for a reason, they have their fair share of struggles and issues coming out, you know, the first year or two in the major leagues, and finally they kind of figure things out. And that's just a process that really everybody goes through, and it's the timetable's not the same for everyone. And I think what's happening with a lot of our younger pitchers is they're finally kind of figuring things out for themselves. I know the changeup has to be a positive for Brady Singer. The reason he never threw a changeup for so many years was the fact he never needed a changeup. His two-seam fastball and his slider were so good, he really never needed that third pitch. And then when he was going through that process of getting established at the big league level, everyone talked about, hey, he needs that third pitch, which he will, and he does. But the fact that now he has it, I think it plants a little seed in the hitter's mind that, hey, he does have a changeup, and it's a good changeup to go along with a two-seam fastball that probably has as much life and movement as anyone that you're going to see. And then he's got a slider that's, you know, a swing-and-miss type pitch. So he's got all these tools that he can go to, but I think it's just a combination of really all of those things coming together. And certainly I'm sure it's very rewarding for Brady Singer. I know the organization's got to be thrilled to see that here's a guy that was your first pick in the 18 draft. Now he's established himself as one of the best young pitchers in the game and throwing the ball really as well as about anybody. And I know yesterday was maybe not his most dominant start, but to me it was the most efficient start that I've seen from him. Really, really trusting his stuff. I heard him use the word attack a number of times after the game yesterday, talking about his performance. And that's just something that once you believe in your stuff and you feel really good about your stuff and you're able to command your superior stuff and those pitches, then you can trust it and go out and attack hitters and not feeling like you have to make a perfect pitch every time. I mean, he struck a couple guys out yesterday on two-seam fastballs that literally started probably 6 inches on the glove side or the first base side of the plate and finished in the middle of the strike zone. I mean, literally right in the middle of the strike zone. But the left-handed hitters, they gave up on it. It just locked him up, and they gave up on that pitch and called third strike. He gets as many called strikes as about anybody I've seen for a long time. And when you get called strikes as a pitcher, that really does a lot. It says a lot about what your stuff's all about, because it's just so good that you're beating hitters when that ball's not even halfway to the plate. They've given up on it. Next thing you know, it's in the strike zone and you're getting a called strike. So it's his stuff just has played really well.
Yeah, when a guy gives up on it, because it looks like a ball and it comes back over the plate and it's a pretty easy strike call and the hitter complains to the umpire, you know you got some movement on it because that thing, certainly he's seen that against New York. He was just absolutely dominant in what he was able to do. And I'll go, maybe not even yesterday, but going back to his previous start against the White Sox, which was a week ago today on August 3rd, that he gives up 4 earned runs in 6 innings. He's got only 3 strikeouts and 1 walk. It's not what we had seen from Brady Singer as of late when he's got, 12 Ks and 2 walks, and in Yankee Stadium, 10 strikeouts and 1 walk, and yesterday, 6 Ks, no walks. The start he had, the previous one against the White Sox, wasn't his typical outing that we've seen from him, but I saw something different in Brady Singer in that start, to where he had base runners all over the plate, all over the place. He gave up a career high in hits, and he didn't have a blow-up inning, Monty. Like, how often have we seen Singer in his young career just kind of lose it on the mound and have one inning where it just falls apart? That he's dominant for 3, fourth inning he gives up 5 runs, and then he comes back out in the 5th and 6th and gets, 6 straight guys out, but he gave up 5 runs in 6 innings. We saw that so often with him, that he just had these meltdown innings. And I wonder, a year ago, maybe even 2020 certainly is a – his first year in the bigs, if that start against the White Sox would have been 6 innings and 4 earned runs, or it would have been 3 innings and 6 earned runs or something like that.
Yeah, that's that process I was talking about. That's a little bit of that process too, just kind of understanding what you need to do to make some adjustments. And, I'll go back to a game he pitched against the San Francisco Giants earlier this year. He was cruising along. I think he walked 4 consecutive batters in an inning, and he limited the damage. Mm-hmm. He goes in the dugout. He gets with Cal Eldred. They make some suggestions and some adjustments. He goes back out, and he pitched like another 2 or 3 innings. I mean, it was just – he had that one inning. It was not pretty. He couldn't throw a strike, but he did get through it, and then he went back out and provided a couple, 3 more innings, for his ball club. So it's just, the game's pretty quick. Yeah. And when you're a younger player – sometimes it's difficult to slow things down kind of in the heat of that moment out there in the middle of the field on that pitcher's mound. But once you get some experience and you've experienced some failure, especially, and then you've learned how to make those adjustments and learn from those failures, then it makes it easier next time around. And again, that's what we're seeing with more and more of the young pitchers.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing from him that, what people talked about, that he could have been the number one pick, could have been a top 5 pick in the draft. And the Royals took him where they did. Last one on Brady Singer. If he continues this progression, how good can he be for a staff? So what I'm asking is, there's a number one on every staff. So it's like, this is our quote-unquote ace of the staff. But it doesn't make them an ace in baseball, right? There's a handful of aces in baseball. If we're looking at a legitimate one, a legitimate two, on down to, the 5 guys in a rotation – how good can Singer be? Does he have the ability of maybe being in that handful of guys, of being an ace, or is he maybe a middle of the pack, like real number one? Is he a top end, like legit top end number two? How good do you think Brady Singer could be?
Well, his stuff plays out to where he could pitch on any pitching staff, and where he slots in obviously depends on who's surrounded on that pitching staff with him, but I don't think anyone would argue that he has the stuff to be a top rotation guy. I mean, he could be the best pitcher on a lot of baseball teams. Maybe not the best in the game, but he could be one of the top in the game. And I think the key will be just continue to make those steps in the right direction, eliminate those tough games where you talked about earlier where it might be a blow-up inning. And he's just getting there. He's just kind of learning how to do that. So I think he really plays out well when you project him in a rotation. And, what can he do for a team? Well, gosh, here's a guy that, as a teammate, whether it be a guy who's sitting on the bullpen or a guy that's going to be playing defense behind him, when you have a guy like Brady Singer, when it's his day to pitch, I mean, your confidence level is very high because you know that there's a good chance he's going to get you deep into a baseball game and you're going to likely have a good chance to win that game. So it feels really good when you go to the ballpark with a guy like Singer on the mound. And oftentimes those are difficult to find, and we've experienced that unfortunately a lot, in world baseball. But now we're starting to see good reasons why, when you go to the ballpark, whether it be Brady Singer or Daniel Lentz or Chris Bubich or like how we feel pretty good about the guys who are taking the hill and giving this team a chance to win. And I think that's why, since the last, say, 40 or 50 games, the team's been essentially a 500 team, which I thought they would have been coming out of the gate and really during the course of the entire season. But the first 2 months were so bad. Didn't score any runs, and when we did score runs, we didn't pitch the ball. So they just finally got things in sync now. But I think a big reason for that, starting pitching, going out there, giving them a chance to win almost every night they go out there.
It's interesting you talk about, guys that are in the field or maybe in the bullpen and what Singer does. I would have to imagine, we've talked about Keller and the pace that he pitches it with. Brady Singer's that guy too. Like, he gets on the mound and confident, like, give me the ball back, let's go, next pitch. That it like Eloy Jimenez yesterday had to like stand outside the box for a little bit just to take a couple of deep breaths to throw Brady Singer off his timing. And we've seen some, like Chris Archer and Doug Davis are human rain delays, that they just take their time out there on the mound and take their time. And Singer's not that guy. So that probably is enjoyable to play defense behind him as well. And I brought this up a couple of weeks ago, Monty, when he pitched against the Yankees. And Andrew Benintendi led off for the Yankees, and the first time the Royals went up against, Benintendi, Singer on the mound. It'd be hard to think back now, but it was three strikes for Benintendi and a strikeout for Singer against Benintendi. Do you know how long it took from pitch number one to pitch number three with a foul ball in there?
I'm going to say 25 seconds.
33. And it's, you're right on, because I asked it on the air, and it was like, I don't know, a minute and a half. 2 minutes. I mean, there was a foul ball. We know what goes on in today's, from the first pitch with a foul ball to strike three, it was 33 seconds, Monty, for Brady Singer. And that's kind of that's rare in today's game. And I think that goes back to that confidence thing as well. So, look, I'm excited anytime Singer gets on the mound, because it certainly feels like he has turned a corner, and you see what the Royals saw in him. Jeff Montgomery is our guest. Chris Bubich on the mound tonight. Since he's been called back up, Monty, he's got a sub-4 ERA, and his WHIP is still pretty high. It's about a 1.5 base runners per inning, and that certainly needs to come down. But that's kind of where he's been throughout his career. But he's limited the damage. Chris Bubich now pitching into the sixth inning. He's going longer into games. What are you seeing from Bubich since he was called back up? Because again, sub-4 ERA, that'll play. As a fourth or fifth starter, if that's Chris Bubich on your team and you've got, 1, 2, 3, you're feeling pretty good about that guy in your rotation.
Well, one common denominator we're hearing here now, since they've been called back up. Since
good point, yeah.
Now, one thing I think has a little bit to do with since they've been called back up, think about this. There's a pitch clock in the minor leagues. Okay, so they have to work quick. They have to get on a little bit of a pace. And I think when a pitcher does that, it gives him some confidence in his stuff, because he can't think a lot about it. He just understands, I've got to execute a pitch. And I think that pitch clock does a lot for those guys. And when they go down, I know they make some other adjustments, but I think the pitch clock has a little bit to do with it. There's going to be a pitch clock in the big leagues next year. So I think it's, the Chris Archers of the world, they're going to have some issues. They're going to have to go out and figure some things out. I mean, we've got a couple of bar guys like Josh Stallman. Josh Stallman's going to have to maybe be a faster worker. I think that will be good for guys. But back to Chris Bubich, here's a guy who now trusts his stuff. He's had better fastball command. He's using his curveball much more effectively, and I think that helps set up his changeup, which pretty much for the most part has always been there for him. It's been a pitch he can go to when he needs it. But I think just the adjustments we've seen from Chris, because he obviously struggled mightily early this season. I kind of felt like his stuff maybe wasn't quite as crisp, or maybe I'll say a little short compared to where it is now. So it's good to see the ball coming out of his hand the way it is. It's good to see him commanding a fastball and using that breaking ball more and more, and just giving him the confidence to throw it in those situations, especially when he does get a left-handed batter. But I think that's what I've seen. And again, kind of falls in a little bit of that same category as what we talked about with Brady Singer, just kind of finally starting to figure some things out at this level, and then having the confidence to go out and make those pitches and execute those pitches.
Last one for you, Jeff Montgomery, Bally Sports, Royals Hall of Famer, Royals Insider here for 810, presented by Sandlot Goods. The importance of winning. You know, we talked about the youth and how much fun they're having, and, you know, we see them, you know, going to the ballpark and excited to go out there and play, and there's a different energy level, and they're talented, and they want to, you know, stay in the big leagues and things like that. As the season progresses, as they wind down through August and September, assuming these guys and considering these guys are going to be on the team next year, you know, and starting the season with this club, what's the importance of not just going out and performing and getting hits and showing that you belong and giving little glimpses of what, you know, how good they can be? What's the importance of actually finding ways to win games the rest of the way and maybe playing even 500 baseball the last couple of months?
Yeah, I think it's important. Success breeds success. And when you are successful as a team, you win baseball games. And oftentimes after a baseball game on our post-game show on Valley Sports, you'll say, hey, this team played good enough to win. Or sometimes they'll say, hey, they played just good enough to lose. And when teams aren't going well, they find ways to play just good enough to lose. And that's where you want to kind of turn the ship around, get it going in the right direction. And we saw that. Let's go back to the years when they brought up the young core of players that won back-to-back American League championships. You know, those guys, they won in the minor leagues. They struggled for a while at the big league level. Eventually, they learned how to win. And I felt like that kind of started happening in 2013. And then, obviously, the second half of 2014, it really, you know, it set sail. And it was on a real good course. And obviously, when it you know, win a league championship, win a World Series championship. So it's just important to learn how to win as a team, and that's what you hope to see over the last couple months for this ball club.
Jeff Montgomery, Bally Sports, Royals Hall of Famer, Royals Insider, presented by Sandlot Goods. Monty, really appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tonight, the afternoon game tomorrow, and looking forward to our conversation next week.
Okay, can't wait, Jason. Thanks for having me.
All right, Jeff Montgomery, Bally Sports TV, Royals Hall of Famer, Royals Insider, presented by Sandlot Goods, sandlotgoods.com, Kansas City's hat manufacturer. Thank you to Monty. Royals in action tonight, day game tomorrow. Dodgers coming up this weekend for the Royals. And, yeah, Brady Singer's been awesome. The youth movement's been fun. We'll see what they can do the rest of the way, whether the wins or, you know, losses come along the way, and how they do in terms of their stats and putting some numbers up. They certainly did that yesterday. All six RBIs driven in by rookies, four of the six runs scored by the rookies. Brady Singer was awesome, as usual. And since July, he's top 20 in ERA, top 10 in strikeouts in all of baseball, and 12th in strikeouts per nine. He's pretty good. Pretty good so far since July. And the guys in front of him, if you look at strikeouts per nine, Spencer Strider, Blake Snell, Shohei Ohtani, Christian Javier, Max Scherzer, Carlos Rodon, Garrett Cole, Corbin Burns, Yu Darvish, Charlie Morton, Braxton Garrett, Brady Singer. It's pretty good. Pretty good in strikeouts per nine. And if we just look at, you know, strikeouts overall, like total number of strikeouts, him being, what, ninth? Garrett Cole, Max Scherzer, Spencer Strider, Blake Snell, Yu Darvish, Corbin Burns, Shohei Ohtani, Carlos Rodon, Brady Singer. That's the group he's with since July. And that's what, seven starts since July for Brady Singer? I know we like to say small sample size. We do that. But that's just looking at like strikeouts and even ERA. But we are seeing something different from him since he was called back up. A good point by Monty. But since he's been called back up, the guy's got a 3.31 ERA in 15 starts. A 1.14 whip in 15 starts, 94 strikeouts in 92 innings, 21 walks to 94 strikeouts in the 92 innings. We'll see what Bubich can do tonight, because Bubich hasn't been too shabby either when it comes to the month of July and on into August as well, because he's not exactly, you know, Brady Singer-ing it with the top line ERA, but he's got, I mean, barely over a 3 ERA, looking it up right now. Bubich, where he ranks in ERA, 31st with a 3.24 ERA in his last seven starts. 31st in baseball of all starters. Brady Singer, 20th. So last seven starts from both those guys. I mean, there's a reason why the Royals have been pretty decent in the month of July and on into August, and certainly with the bats. They will come and go. There'll be some highs and lows with the bats with the young guys, but certainly seeing some consistency with some of these guys and certainly some starters as well. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We continue rolling. More Zone right after this. We'll talk with hang out with Mick Schaefer in the 1 o'clock hour. We head up till 2 o'clock on this Wednesday. More right after this.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
All right, what'd you learn this week in Briscoe?
We're in the beards as a bleep head.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, thank you to Jeff Montgomery, Royals Hall of Famer, Royals Insider for Sports Radio 810 WHB, presented by Sandlot Goods. Thank you to him. Enjoy talking about this team now. It's you know, we have gone through so many of the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows of the season talking Royals baseball, that I'll be honest, there have been times getting ready to talk with Monty that I'm like, I don't really know what to say here except for, hey, crappy McCrapperson stuff out at McCrappy Ballpark.
It's a weird way to pronounce.
Am I McCrappy right? I mean, yeah. And he's like, oh, how do, hey, Monty, here's some lipstick. Here's a pig. Let's get through these 20 minutes. There have been some shows like that. And those aren't the most fun to get. Like these are great. These are fun because there's the optimism and the hope about, you know, the kids are going to be all right.
Did you ever watch Black Mirror?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I heard about it. I almost did, but I did not.
Show's pretty good. I would never suggest that anybody start with the very first episode that is available, episode one, season one.
It's odd that you would not start with the first episode of the season of the series.
And everyone who has watched Black Mirror and started there, everyone listening right now is nodding along saying, Josh is right about this one. And it's also, I thought of it only because you said the phrase lipstick on a pig, and that episode forever ruined that phrase for me. Okay. Many other things it's ruined. Yeah. Ruined a month of my life, perhaps. Rest of the show is really good. But they're all, you know, they're all self-contained episodes.
Well, that would make sense then as to why you wouldn't have to watch episode one.
I would recommend skipping episode one if you want to try
it. Turns
out
I've skipped the whole season.
You know what? Also defensible. I just thought I'd ask since you used the phrase lipstick on a pig. Beards, do you watch Black Mirror?
No, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, that's but
that's
okay. You don't have to tell me.
Nope. You can Google it if you want. I don't think there is a good way for me to talk about it on the radio, I'm just curious, you know?
Very good. Webb City, Missouri has defeated Iowa in the Little League Midwest Region Championship. They now move on to Friday, and they are 3-0 in the double elimination tournament. That means that Iowa and North Dakota will play. And then whoever wins that would have to beat Missouri twice to keep Missouri out of going to the Little League World Series.
One step closer for the kid that we're a fan of here to have his dream job as a chicken nugget taster.
If they're for no other reason, obviously, than, you know, Missouri to make the Little League World Series there, for no other reason other than they have a player whose dream job is to be a chicken nugget taste tester.
That's still Beards' ultimate goal. We all know that.
Is that your dream job, Beards? Like, if you had a dream job, maybe gamer might be that, but if you had, like, a dream job, you could pick your job.
Why not both?
Now that you know that chicken nugget taste tester is on the table.
It's a possibility. Don't stop dreaming.
Slim chicken taste tester. There we go.
I mean, that's...
I love that the guy's like, you know what? Dream it. If you want to be it, then make it happen. It seems like there might be a deficiency in the market. I know zero chicken nugget taste testers.
Here's the thing. It's not my job, but it is my passion. You know, it's something that I will really. I'll grind the film late night hours. Drive to different. I waited in a drive-through for at a Popeyes for 20 minutes on Sunday. and they've never had every item in your order that you ever want at Popeyes. It never happens. I just went through like 15 things. Like, we don't have that. We do have some chicken and some red beans and rice. I was like, all right, that's fine. I'll take
Looks like that's what I'm eating.
Guess I'll have it. You could have should have pulled up and just had you say what you did have. Would have probably been more useful. But you know what? I love it. I'm built different. It's for the love of the game.
That's
and the
right.
game is eating fried chicken.
Oddly enough, the only thing we have left is a Cap'n Crunch. So would you like, I mean, I guess if that's all you have left, Popeyes, then
I think it'd be better if it came from Popeyes. I think if Popeyes was like, hi, we have special Popeyes Cap'n Crunch. Is it
Southern,
different at all? Nope.
Southern style Cap'n Crunch.
It's just served in a Popeyes container.
With one of their biscuits.
Well, now we're talking. Now we're cooking with gas. You know where Web City is? I had to Google it.
Yeah, it's down by Springfield, right?
It is almost exactly
Joplin, Springfield?
West of Springfield. Okay. It is almost directly at the border of Kansas and Oklahoma, just on the Missouri side of that overlap. Like, it is almost a three states in one sort of situation there.
So, yeah, but
represented just straight south of here, Web City.
Yeah,
just
but
a decent amount south.
But it is not in Kansas, nor is it in Oklahoma. It is in Missouri.
Missouri's
and
they're
one win away from going to the Little League World Series. So congratulations to them.
Sell jerseys, do you think, for the Little League World Series?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I do find it odd,
you have to
though.
Get an XXXXXXXL.
I do find it odd that after the game is over, then ESPN interviews one of the players. Like, dude's like 12, and it's like, hey, you went 1-for-4 with a 2-RBI triple. Hey, Brady. You excited about a half-day school starting in a couple of weeks?
What were you seeing on that 2-1 there?
Yeah.
What was he showing you?
How often does your dad yell at you to go out and practice?
You worried about your elbow later in life?
At what point in the last 4 or 5 years did you think, I hate baseball and I hate my dad? How often has that happened for you?
Would you rather just be watching cartoons right now?
Hey, they put you out there for 120 pitches today, Jimmy. Is your arm still attached?
Hey, Brady, has Jackson found a chicken nugget he didn't like?
What was his full name, Beard, the chicken nugget taster?
I got to find it. I'll look.
It was really, really good.
It was
extremely baseball. It was like Brady something. It was incredible.
Well, the kid that they interviewed was named Brady Haxton.
That wasn't him.
I mean,
okay.
We got to see if we can just find the names on these rosters,
but it's
man.
Brady spelled B-R-A-T-I-E.
Nope.
Whoa,
not
God,
not
really?
Not like Tom Brady.
Brady?
Brady.
That's tough,
Haxton.
Man. That's tough.
Yeah. Boy, there are a lot of, like, they're highlighting this Massachusetts player named Jaden Murphy. Oh, man, there's some good ones. Kid by the name of Nick Prado.
That one sounds made
Brody
up.
Jackson.
Brody, come on, Brody. You got Brady and Brody?
So you got Brady Haxton and Brody Jackson.
Those are characters from Point Break, a movie I've seen. Are you impressed with me, Jason?
I am impressed with you. How about
Thank
that?
You.
Wow.
Shout out to my uncle.
You'll never make it.
I haven't seen it.
It's fun. It's not, I don't know if it's good, but it is fun.
Yeah, that's I mean, it's good. And it's fun. Same time.
It's
good
like
fun.
If would you, hold on, I almost, not, oh God, I'm about to, if I start transforming into Corey right now, somebody unplug me and plug me back in again. But did you ever see Top Gun?
I've seen bits of Top Gun.
Okay.
The first one or Maverick?
The first one.
Okay.
I was saying Point Break is like if Top Gun had more surfing and bank robberies and fewer airplanes. It'll
so
make you feel a similar
so
way.
So it's a completely different movie.
No, the vibe was sort of, I had a similar feeling watching it.
So
you
it's
know what
like
I mean?
It's like Top Gun, only it's based in the Great Depression.
It came out 5 years after Top Gun.
There are zero airplanes. There are no boats. There is no Top Gun school. But there is a Dust Bowl. So it's just like Top Gun, only there are grapes involved. And there's a wrath that takes place at some point as well.
It's Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze, and they play characters named Johnny Utah and Bodie.
It's just like Top Gun, only put it in a courtroom and kill a mockingbird at the same time. Then, and no airplanes, no anything. And it's fighting for justice. But just like Top Gun.
Do you know it's not actually about a mockingbird? Crazy.
So they don't spend the whole movie trying to kill a mockingbird?
It's a metaphor.
Because if it was my life, it would be to kill a squirrel.
Oh, you hate
and
squirrels?
It would be, oh, I hate squirrels. You
oh,
know what
why
squirrels
do you hate squirrels?
Are? Squirrels are rats with longer tails.
Yeah, but they live outside. You can watch them enjoy your backyard.
Picture a squirrel.
I'm doing it right now.
Now take that tail away. That's a rat.
Don't dismember a squirrel, Jason. Problem solved.
Squirrels are rats with a better PR firm.
They have big fluffy tails. Enjoy the big fluffy tail.
They are rats with a better PR firm. That's what squirrels are.
They're outdoor rats.
But for some
rats.
Reason, people are like, oh my gosh, I hit a squirrel on the road.
Yeah.
No, you would you say, oh my gosh, I hit a rat on the road. No,
I would
like,
feel bad
hey,
about that.
I hit a rat on the road. Oh, thank goodness.
I would feel bad about hitting a rat on the road.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would.
It's a rat.
What are dogs if not just big rats? Everything's a rat if you make it small enough and take their tail.
No. No, dogs.
What's a cat if not a big mouse? What are we if not hairless apes?
Well, that is that's how you would describe
yourself.
And what's
an ape if not a big rat? Hello, we're all rats. Rats all the way down. You're welcome. Anyway, Beards, Point Break's pretty fun.
Back to the point.
Oh.
Squirrels are rats with longer tails.
Fluffier tails.
And every one of them can go bye-bye.
Wow.
Every single one of them.
This is really gonna hit your Q rating with fiance Renee, who
She likes rats with longer tails and fluffier tails.
Who works at a wildlife rescue center in Missouri, which does include bottle feeding baby squirrels. Which you would have her just dropping them in garbage disposal or what?
I mean, if that's the other choice, if it's a choice between baby feeding them and then dropping them into my backyard,
by the tomatoes
and zucchini and apples, or the garbage disposal.
You're not. Are you growing apples at your house?
Well, we have an apple tree.
Do you really?
We grow tomatoes and zucchini.
That's whimsical.
Isn't it though?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what squirrels like? Tomatoes and apples.
Top Gun.
And Point Break.
And killing a mockingbird.
And destroying everything that you love, including your favorite mockingbird.
And the grapes of wrath. We don't have grapes, but they will face the wrath if they were to eat those.
Imagine,
that I can promise you.
Imagine tuning into this segment exactly 1.5 minutes ago.
Does she have a... I know that people are... I'll check the text line when we go to break.
No,
and everybody,
don't worry about it.
And everybody will be like, here's how you do this. Here's, believe me, I've got about 30 different ways that I've gone about this.
Sure.
But what I need is Renee just to simply come to my backyard and then take these squirrels away and then find a different, safer habitat for them, because it's not safe for them in my backyard.
Relocate two squirrels with one stone, I think is
that's
famous,
what I've been trying to
the
do.
The famous phrase.
There have been stones involved, yes.
I can ask if we can have a squirrel abduction. And that's
squirrel relocation.
Gonna just make everybody happy.
That'd be great. Neighbors across the street would like the rabbit relocation.
Mm, okay.
What I would like is for our neighborhood fox to come back. We had an awesome fox that lived in our neighborhood in our cul-de-sac 2 years ago. And it was great because, let me promise you, squirrels and rabbits, not around us.
Tell you what, if you ever see that fox, like maybe it got hit by a car or something,
oh,
or looks like it's in bad shape,
yeah,
you let me, if it's, you know, if there's some life in it still, you let me know. I'll get it to Renee. I won't take the fox. I'll get the message to Renee and then
Renee
can handle
it.
Because that's above my, I don't
I hope
do
not.
That.
I loved that fox.
I'm here for emotional support. I'm not going to move it.
The fox lived
animal,
under
probably.
The deck of our next door neighbor, and
that's
it was
awesome.
Oh, it was great. And baby fox is foxeye, fi.
Beards, is there something you wanted us to do here?
More Zone Next.
You're in the Zone with Jason Anderson.
I never get excited about guys running around in their underwear.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Well, we've done it. So last week, or maybe it was Monday, I can't remember, or I was out Monday. Maybe it was yesterday, who knows? Then when we talked about the cat with Hosmer, it was last week.
Yeah.
And Jed was like, you don't have a cat problem, you have a wife problem.
Yeah.
So now we have a texter that apparently very offended
by...
Text says, you guys just lost a dog lover as a listener with the comment that dogs are nothing but large rats.
Not first of all, that's mine. Second of all, not what I said. Third of all,
I texted, is this a real text? Like, is this like sarcasm?
Loosen your belt or tie or whatever a little bit.
Said, I was very offended. I also sent the same text to Todd Lebo. I didn't take it as a joke. Very poor taste.
I love my big rat.